Morning Reveal. I am glad that you are here and welcome. If you don't know who I am, my name is Marty. I'm one of the pastors here at Reveal, and I am glad that you're with us. Hey, I hope you had a great time last Sunday for our Easter drive-in celebration. Listen, it was good for my soul to be with you and to see smiling faces and to be able to worship with you in the same room, parking lot. It was good to see your faces, even if it was just through a windshield. But I do have a word of the Lord for some of you. Ready? It's quite simple. Wash your car. There it is. That's God's word for you. See, he can wash your sin, but you need to wash your car. I don't know how some of you see through some of those windshields, but it was great to be with you. Thank you for being there. I hope you enjoyed it. Today, we start a new short series called Juiced, Power When You Need It. Let me ask you something. If you had to use one word to describe your current emotional, mental, and spiritual state, what word would you choose? What would that look like? See, I think many of us would use words like exhausted. We'd use words like frustrated or beat down or anxious or irritated or overwhelmed or running out of juice, running out of steam. We would use all of these ideas to describe where we're at in our current situation. Concerns over the virus and binge watching news reports and closures of this thing and that thing and stay at home orders that have just really taken its toll on all of us. I think in some way we're all exhausted. Recent events have siphoned our fuel reserves. Many of us, we're just kind of running on fumes right now. Maybe you feel like a prisoner in your own home. If you have young children, maybe the inmates are running the prison, right? I think that might be happening. I see the look on your faces. See, I think we're all just a little on edge. We're all a little irritable. We're all exhausted. We're all running on empty. If I had a personal battery meter across my forehead, like is on our phones, and if you could see it, that battery meter today would be flashing red saying low battery. It would probably say somewhere around 10% battery life. Warning, 10% battery remaining. See, when I started this, when this started, I thought, hey, a couple Sundays off, I'll go for that. You know, that can't be too bad. I'll get to sleep in. Sheila will get to make me breakfast in bed. I can't even say it without laughing. She's not making me breakfast in bed. Right? I thought, hey, this would be great. And then I quickly realized that I underestimated what it was going to take to take the church online. Right? With writing sermons that are applicable to our current situation, and then also trying to write sermons to finish off the Transform series and the Wednesday night Transform regroups that was going on, and trying to do Holy Week devotionals, and then filming and editing all of the above. And if I'm just honest with you, my battery is running low right now. And I'm guessing I'm not the only one. I'm guessing many of us are sensing the same thing. And so I want us to spend a couple times, a couple weeks, looking at how do we stay juiced in an energy-draining environment. Because we know that God uses seasons of stress to build and strengthen us and to stretch and to refine us. But in order for that to happen, it's going to require something of you. It's going to require something of me. And that is devotion. It's going to require dedication and attentiveness and self-reflection. See, if you and I want to remain charged in a battery-sucking environment, in a battery-sucking season, then you and I will need discipline to remain connected to the source. And that source is a capital S. Right? It's going to require that. So let me be transparent with you a little bit this morning. I was in a good rhythm prior to all of this happening. Every morning I would listen to my Through the Bible app, and then later in that morning I would read the Bible, have a Bible study, a devotional, and just kind of study God's Word. I had my scripture memorization and meditating that I was doing, and then add to that whether it's a podcast or a teaching or worship tapes or whatever else. I was in a good rhythm and kind of felt like I sensed myself growing, things were moving forward, and I felt good. But let me be honest, in the last month, man, I've struggled with the discipline to position myself to remain connected. You know what it's like when you start the day already anxious about the day because you're not sure how you're going to get everything done in the day? That's what life has been like for me, and I know for many of you. And so that stress caused me to do something. It caused me to say, I'm going to put off my devotion. I'm going to put off my prayer. I'm going to put off my scripture reading until later. The problem is that later often never came. I mean, sometimes it did, and I could get back on track. But overall, this last month, just to be blunt, just to be transparent with you, man, I struggled. You know, I'm working more hours than I probably ever have. And then trying to figure out how do we lead a church through a pandemic? Never have done that before. How do we keep people connected when we can't even meet face-to-face? Never done that before. The pressure of do we do an Easter drive-in service? Is anyone going to come? Can we do it and remain responsible? What does all of this change mean for payroll and expenses? What are other pastors doing? What's working? What's not? How can we be a better church when all this is over and just blah, blah, blah? Whatever thing is bouncing around in my head at 3 a.m., that's when my brain starts working, and that's why some of you get texts at 3 a.m. I'm sorry, but that's when things are firing for me. And see, here's the thing. As I was living in a new season, a Corona-palooza season, and I was living off of old reserves. I was in a new season, but living off of old battery reserves that were quickly being depleted. And so after Easter, when things settled down, my soul could speak, and I could finally listen. And it was saying things like, hey, warning, 10% battery remaining. This is not healthy. You're not healthy. You need to get connected. Something needs to change. And I would tell myself, no juice, no use, right? No juice. You're useless as a pastor. You're no good as a husband. You're no good as a father. You're no good as a friend. You cannot continue going like this. See, here's what I've been reminded of. In times of stress, half-hearted devotion, intermittent connection to the source, capital S, will leave us powerless and without the prolonged ability to navigate through seasons of stress and tension. And it's just the reality. And so let's talk about juice. Let's talk about how we remain juice. Now, when Jesus taught, he often used parables that would have been relatable to his first century audience. And he would use things like agriculture or farming. If he was with us today, he'd probably use something a little more familiar to us like technology. And so over the next couple weeks, we're going to use our cell phones, specifically the battery in our cell phone, as a metaphor for our lives or the power that we have to live our lives well. See, what you didn't know is that you and I have more in common with these things, with our cell phones, than we may realize. Let me just give you some of them. Your phone was created by a creator. Now, whether it's Samsung or whether it's Apple or HTC or Google or BlackBerry, and if you're still using BlackBerry, I'm sorry. Just type in the chat. That's me. I'm that person. Regardless of who made your phone, it was created by a creator. Hey, we've been created by a creator. We are actually marked with the image of our creator, made in the image of God. Your phone was created with a purpose in mind. You were created with a purpose in mind. Your phone is beautifully and wonderfully made. I mean, before we put cases on it, right? When you take that phone out of the box, it's almost a work of art. Well, Scripture says that you are a masterpiece of God, that you are beautifully created. See, my phone even is going off now. That you are beautifully created. Here's one. Every phone has the ability to touch the world. You can call any person at any time, and you can at any moment talk to someone, and that you can have an impact on their life. Well, hey, you have the potential to reach around the world and impact someone with the light of Christ at any given moment. Here's one. Your phone is full of potential. Your phone has more computing power than the Apollo 8, 100 times more processing power than the computer that put a man on the moon. Think about that. Can I remind all of us that we also are full of potential, that we are an endless supply of possibility? How about this? Your phone has apps that you've never used. Your phone has apps that you've never tapped, that there are things, and here's the, that there are things inside of each of us that have also never been put to use. They've never been tapped. Just like your phone, you were chosen. And just like your phone, you were bought with a price. Now, they may tell you your phone was free, but you're paying for your phone somewhere buried in that contract. And finally, in order for your phone to be effective, it needs to repeatedly be plugged in to a power source. You see, without it, it doesn't matter how great your phone is, it doesn't matter how spectacular it is, it doesn't matter its processing power or how beautiful it is. Without power, it's nothing more than a paperweight. And it also doesn't matter how wonderfully we've been created or what we've been created to do. If we do not have juice, then we are of no use. Now, in case you haven't had enough coffee this morning and you're still a little foggy, let me just spell out who our source is. Our source, of course, is God. Now, as followers of Christ, that should be obvious, but we all know that often we try to gain our power or gain our juice from other things other than God, even as followers of Christ. In other words, we look to other people as our power source, which is problematic because other people aren't really around us anymore. We're in social isolation. Maybe we look for power from our marriage or from a relationship, and now we're working in the same home with our spouse, and we're not even sure if we like our spouse. Maybe not that bad, but you know, I've talked to some of you. You know who you are. Some receive juice from a job or for paychecks, but that's all up in the air right now. But listen to what 2 Peter says. It says, by his divine power, now catch that, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Here's what I want you to understand, that it's his power. That it originates with him. He doesn't need anyone to refuel him, to repower him. It originates with him. He is the source of his own power, and he gives us the power to do what? To do whatever is required to live a godly life. He gives us the power to cope and to endure and wisdom to navigate life. That's what his power does. He gives it to us. See, do you know that feeling when your phone battery is on red and that warning pops up? Does anyone else become a little anxious when your phone is low on power, especially when you're not near a power source? What happens when your phone is low on power? You are limited in what you can do because your battery is low. There's things that you can't do. You'll answer the phone and say, hey, can't talk right now, my battery's low, and you hang up really quickly. You've ever been in something in the middle of something important and your battery went dead? Have you ever been in an argument with a boyfriend, girlfriend, or a spouse, and your battery went dead, and they now think you hung up on them? And now they're calling you back, and your phone's dead, and they're thinking you won't even answer the phone. That's a painful one, right? We all know that feeling. We know the feeling when our battery is depleted, when our battery is dead, but when our battery dies, it doesn't come as a surprise. Because our phone warns us as our battery level is depleted. It says, hey, 20%, better charge up. 10%, this is getting serious. You have 10% left. 5%, this is critical. Do something. Something has to change. It warns us. And what I found is when the battery of my soul is depleted, it doesn't come as a surprise. My soul's been crying out with warnings. My soul's been trying to get my attention, saying, hey, you got 20% left. Something has to change. Hey, warning, 10% battery remaining. You're going to have to do something different because we are not sustainable like this. 5%, I'm about to shut down. Right? If we all have heard it. Often we ignore it because we think we're magically going to be somehow refueled, recharged. But when our battery of the soul dies completely, it's not really a surprise. We can look back and say we saw it coming because it warns us. Listen, we're all in a new season that we've never been in before. And what you did last season to get through may not work this season. What allowed your soul to be somewhat charged last season may deplete you this season. Maybe you survived with 28% and maintained 28% battery life last season. In a new season, under new pressure, you may be zapped. See, the load on my phone, the load on my battery, it's never constant. It's always changing. It's never consistent. There are times that my phone requires more juice to do what I'm asking it to do. Now catch that. It requires more juice to do what I'm asking it to juice. When it's on standby, I can go 2 days easy. And the battery's fine. But if I'm using my phone as a hotspot or for navigation, the power consumption is increased, meaning my battery life is decreased, requiring me to connect to a power source more often. Do you see where I'm going with this? This is why I have charge cables everywhere. I have one on my nightstand. I have a charge cable that plugs into my couch. I have one in the kitchen. I have one in my bag. I have one in my car. I have a portable one that I carry with me. I have one at work. Why? Because I do not want this to go dead. What would it look like if we treated our souls the way we treat our phones? If we ensured that our souls were being always connected to the source and always being charged. See, the current season you're in and that I'm in has put a new load, a greater load on your life. In other words, life is requiring more energy, more power to process and to do what you're needing to do. And so if you think the way you recharged last season will keep you charged this season, you might just be in for a big surprise. See, if you were barely surviving last season, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and you continue to do this season what you did last season, this season might just swallow you because there's a heavier strain on your power source, on your battery of your soul. And so we need connection points everywhere. However you best connect with God, however you best experience the Holy Spirit, we'll talk about that in the weeks to come. It's a new season, new pressure, new season, new challenges, new season, new obstacles, new season, new load. But here's the good news. New season, same Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we all know how it feels when our battery is almost dead, but we also know what it feels like when our battery is 100% charged. And I'll feel a little invincible, like I can go anywhere, I can do anything, I don't have any reservations to do anything on my phone, right? Because I am fully juiced. Listen, it's a new season. There's more being required of us. And so if we're gonna remain charged, we're gonna need the discipline, the devotion to stay connected to the power source. We're going to have to fight to position ourselves to see the activity of God, to hear the voice of God, to receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Because as I've been saying, the flow don't know, right? The flow is increasing. The flow is pushing us even further, faster away from God for most people. That's why when my schedule became overwhelmed and the flow increased, what was the first thing that suffered? It was my devotion. It was my connection to God. And I suffer for it. Do you see it? See, my concern is the longer that we're in this season of life, that the greater the possibility that our faith is flattened. And if the main thing that got you through last season was meeting in the church, going to church, or maybe in a regroup, I'm a little concerned for you because those things are gone, at least in the way that we've known it. Now more than ever, you and I will need to be self-feeders because when our faith is flattened, passion grows cold. Prayers are flat and the promise and the presence of God seems aloof. So let me just ask you, how is your soul? See, if you got by just being in the proximity of Jesus last season, I don't know. You're going to need to be connected to Jesus. You're going to need to abide in Jesus. You're going to need to remain in Jesus in order to stay charged in this new season. So let me just give you three attributes of God's power. We'll go through this quickly. Here's the first one. God's power is dependable, right? God's power will always be there when you need it. Look at Hebrews 1:3. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. Now catch this. And he sustains everything, right? He's dependable. Everything that God created, God sustains. It's dependable. He spoke it into existence, meaning the Son is still being sustained by the Creator speaking it into existence. His power is dependable. Look at Colossians 1. It says, for in him all things were created, all things, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, catch this, and in him what? He holds all things. Him, all things are held together. His power is dependable. Let me give you one more. James 1:7. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is what? No variation or shifting shadow due to change. I'm reading it and how I have it memorized. Meaning that God is consistent. God doesn't move. God doesn't change. He's more dependable than the banking system or governments or relationship or the stock market or a stimulus check that you may or may not have received. I haven't got mine yet. He's more dependable than that. But here's the other thing, is that God's power is not only dependable, God's power is transferable. Get this, God holds the power and then God transfers the power to anyone who wants it. In other words, God says, my power will become your power. Look at 2 Peter 1. Again, by his what? By his divine power, it's his power, right? He is a power source unto himself. God has given us, he transferred it to us, right? What does he transfer? Everything we need for living a godly life. Catch that. Everything that's needed for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Look at verse 4. And because of his glory and excellence, he has, there it is again, he has given us, go to that next slide, he has given us great and precious promises. What has he given us? What has he transferred? Great and precious promises that come through his word. These are the promises that enables you to do what? To share in his divine nature and to escape the world's corruption. Listen to what scripture is saying. Is that God holds the power. God sustains the power. His power is dependable and his power is transferable. That God gives you what is needed. And what does that mean for us? It means that we have the ability. We have the ability to live a godly lifestyle, even in a coronapalooza age. That we possess the precious promises of God because they've been transferred to us. The power of God has been given to us, spoken into us. We share in his nature and we escape the world's corruption. Look at 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me that my grace is sufficient, here it is, for my power, there it is again, my power is what? Made perfect. And when is this power made perfect? It's made perfect in your weakness, meaning God's power is transferable even when you're weak, even when I am weak. And that is when God's power is at its best. God's power is dependable. God's power is transferable. And catch this last one, God's power is available. Power wouldn't be much good if God held it all to himself, but he says it's for everyone. Listen. We can't be a Christian atheist, right? An atheist is someone who doesn't believe in the existence of God. A Christian atheist is someone who believes in God but lives like God doesn't exist. Believes in God but doesn't experience the power of God. Believes in God, but isn't connected to God. Acknowledges God, but is void of the power of God. Listen, 2 Timothy gives this warning that says, hey, do not have a form of godliness, but deny its power. Listen, just don't talk a good game. Just don't come to church because it kind of feels good or it fits in with some ritual you've had when you were a child. Don't tag in on Sunday online because you feel like you've done something and God is somehow happy and taking roll call and checking your name off a list. Don't have a form of godliness and deny its power. Allow the power of God to work in us and through us. See, as I close, let me remind us, having access to the power of God does not mean we're plugged into the power of God. We got a new couch. And my son didn't know that he had power in the couch until about 4 months after we owned it. He had access to the power, but he wasn't plugged into the power. See, if you connect to the power of God, the source, right? Jesus says it this way, that if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit, you'll have much power, that he will fill us. The problem is that we leak. And so especially in this season that is putting a load on us and a strain on us, we need to continually be plugged in to the source that is dependable, that is transferable, and it is available for everyone. So let me just ask you, how is your soul? Do you need to connect? Let me just remind you that when your phone battery is dead, like completely dead, and you plug it in, nothing happens. Like when I first plug it in, I don't even get a charge symbol. There's nothing. I have to have faith that something is going into the phone even though I don't see it. Can I just remind us that if you're dead right now, if your battery is depleted, that God's power is the same way? That don't plug into the source and then immediately think that you're going to be on full charge. Sometimes you may not even see or sense that something is happening. Have faith in the process. Something is happening, right? When you sow into life, we reap life, is what Scripture tells us. We reap the Spirit. And so when you first plug in and your phone is dead, nothing happens, and you don't even have full use of the phone, but you have to have faith that something is going in. Listen, when you open up Scripture, when you pray, when you worship, have faith that something is happening in you. I have to leave the phone plugged in long enough before I start to see the results. It's the same way in our spiritual lives. We're going to need to remain plugged in. So how is your soul? And do you need to reconnect? Now, next week, we'll talk about, we'll unpack what it looks like to connect. But in the meantime, do the basics. Dust off your Bible. Carve out some time for prayer and silence and meditation and worship. Make time to connect with God, and we'll continue this topic next week. Pray with me. Lord, I know many of us, myself included, we're tired and just life has been overwhelming, and we're under a greater load, meaning we're giving out more often than what we're taking in, and what we need more than anything right now is just a fresh download of power into our lives. And so we're going to make the commitment to be disciplined, to connect with you, and to have many cables connecting to you, whatever that's going to look like, so that we may be charged, we may be juiced, that we may live the life that you've called us to live, even in this current age of uncertainty. And so I'm praying, and maybe wherever you're at, you just want to raise your hands. Holy Spirit, I'm praying that you would begin to empower each person that is listening to this message, and that you would even just sense that the Holy Spirit is depositing in you exactly what you need to get through the current circumstance or struggle that you are facing. Holy Spirit, fill them. Speak to them. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, words of understanding. Just speak to them now, I pray, that we may continue on course and continue the journey set before us. And so fill us, empower us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you are a guest, please take a moment, click the little connect card if you're on the reveal.online.church tab. Click that, fill it out. I'd love to get some information from you just to send you some information about the church. If you're on Facebook, you can just send me an email, marty@revealvineyard.com. I'll get it. And we'll get some information to you. I look forward to seeing you next week. We'll continue the series Juiced. In the meantime, connect to the source. God bless you.